Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let's go to London now, where the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer has had a fairly bruising week as the cost of UK government borrowing soared. He was forced to defend his Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, only to accept the resignation of a close ally and junior Treasury minister who was named in a corruption investigation in Bangladesh. Then yesterday, after his first visit to Ukraine, Starmer's government appeared to bow to pressure whipped up by Elon Musk, announcing multiple inquiries into grooming gangs in the north of England. Let's get more on all of this now with Mark Paul, London editor with the Irish Times. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Pretty rough week over there for the government. We might start at the end and with that announcement last night about these inquiries into grooming gangs in northern England. This was all stoked again in reality by Elon Musk, wasn't it?
That's right. Elon Musk, basically since the new year, had took to social media to absolutely lambaste the British government for a perceived failure to order a full national inquiry into the activities of so-called grooming gangs. These are gangs of men who sexually abused teenage girls all across Britain over many, many years. And I suppose what makes it controversial in a sense is that a lot of these cases that have come to prosecution the men in the gangs were of mainly of Asian, Muslim, Asian, and Pakistani descent, British Pakistanis, and that ethnicity has become quite closely associated with this story. And Elon Musk basically accused Labour of some sort of a cover up, and there was calls for a full national inquiry. Now there have been local inquiries in places like Telford and so on, and some of the other towns, and Bradford and other places like that, but there hasn't been a full national inquiry. But what has happened now is that Yvette Cooper, the Home Secretary, has ordered not quite the full national inquiry that was sought by people like Elon Musk, but a kind of a national review of five different local inquiries, by a lawyer. And then Louise Casey, who's a crossbench peer in the House of Lords, she's going to conduct a kind of an audit of these of some of these cases to look at some of the cultural dynamics, the demographics, the cultural drivers. And I suppose that's a nod to the ethnic argument that really has been fanned by people on the right wing, I guess, of British politics, and also by Elon Musk, who made some, you know, frankly outrageous comments on social media about members of the British government, and some of them that you know you'd really want to be careful about repeating on air. Some of the things that he said were just very personalised, and you know, so I think they've tried to take the heat out of this story without going for a full national inquiry.
Yeah, just wonder where it leaves them, because one of the people Elon Musk went for was Jess Phillips, who was meeting some of the victims yesterday. I saw on the news last night. She seemed to be unaware, as were the victims, that these reviews were being announced last night. I just wonder, how reactionary was it?
Well, I mean, like last week, for example, Keir Starmer was absolutely adamant that this was not what the government planned to do. I mean, he said it at Prime Minister's questions. He said it repeatedly. Professor Alexis Jay, she's not a baroness, I'm not quite appointing her to the House of Lords. Professor Alexis Jay, who previously looked into the case in Rotherham, she said that a new national inquiry wouldn't be productive. And so all of the mood music last week was that this wouldn't happen. But it is happening now. Jess Phillips, who was really targeted by Elon Musk, she's the Minister for Safeguarding over here in Britain, and she's the one who told Oldham Council a couple of weeks ago that she wouldn't order a national inquiry, that they should have a local inquiry because that was the best. And she's been really on the receiving end of some horrendous abuse on social media over this.
Okay, let's move on then to Tulip Sadiq. Who is she and why was she forced to resign?
Tulip Sadiq is a junior ministry in the UK's Treasury, effectively its Department of Finance, who has been forced to resign because she has been named in a corruption inquiry in Bangladesh. Now, what makes that doubly unfortunate for her and for the government, the British government, is that she's also the minister in charge of combating corruption in Britain. So Tulip Sadiq comes from a Bangladesh family. She's London-born herself, but a kind of a Bangladesh political dynasty. Her grandfather was the first president of the country, and helped the country get its independence. He was assassinated in 1975 along with 17 members of his family. And one of the survivors of that, she wasn't in the house at the time, was Tulip Sadiq's aunt, Sheikh Hasina, who until last year was the Prime Minister of Bangladesh. And she left office after 20 years last year and went into exile. And since then, the new Bangladesh government has been investigating claims of corruption around Sheikh Hasina and the family. And they've zeroed in on Tulip Sadiq, who is she's an MP in North London in a neighbouring constituency to Keir Starmer. She's very, very friendly with Keir Starmer. She will be the closest thing to a Starmerite in the party. And she's been accused of being given or gifted flats and property in London by allies of Sheikh Hasina. Now, in the past, Tulip Sadiq had explained, for example, one particular flat she got in King's Cross 20 years ago. She had previously said she was given that by her parents, but she has since actually clarified that she was actually given it by a property developer in Bangladesh. Now, she referred herself to a guy called Laurie Magnus, who was Number 10's ethics advisor, and he came back at the beginning of this week with a report for Keir Starmer saying that he should consider her ongoing responsibilities, and she immediately stepped down to avoid what she said was a distraction for the government. So that's a pretty that will wound Keir Starmer because she was very close to him.
Right, and then you have all of the pressure then brought to bear on Rachel Reeves, not only this week, but there was an intensification because we were expecting inflation figures and the cost of borrowing figures. So how did that all play out in the end?
Well, Rachel Reeves has probably emerged from this week a little bit stronger than she entered it. I mean, what's happened and what's caused the story around Rachel Reeves is there has been a massive sell-off of British government bonds and sterling because investors are losing faith in the economy's ability to grow. Like UK government borrowing costs recently reached their highest since 2008. Now, everybody in Ireland remembers in 2008 when our government bonds were being sold off, what it was like. So Rachel Reeves has been blamed for this by her political critics and by some economists, because she basically in her budget on October the 30th, she raised taxes, £40 billion worth of taxes, and this has been blamed for stagnating the economy. Now, new figures out yesterday show that the UK economy grew by only 0.1% in November. It's effectively flatlined, and everything that Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves and Labour promised in July's election was predicated on being able to pay for it by a growing economy, and the economy is not growing, and she's taking the stick for that.
Now, there was a time over the last couple of years where you weren't allowed to mention Brexit if you were involved in any way with British politics, but now it's back on the agenda. We have the Lib Dem leader talking about whether there should be some sort of a customs union with the EU. This is in advance of Trump coming back into office in the United States. And then Kemi Badenoch, the leader of the Conservative Party, admitting that they had no real plan for Brexit.
No plan.
Finally.
That's right. But what she said was they had no real plan for how to restructure the British economy after Brexit, which is something that no Tory has ever said before. Because prior to Brexit, they said that, you know, they had a great plan to lead Britain to the sunny uplands of economic freedom. The Liberal Democrats are the most pro-EU party in Britain, and their membership are very pro-EU. But in the last election campaign, Ed Davey, the leader of the party, was very reticent to say that they should rejoin the EU or anything like that, or even get closer to Europe. But what he's come out, he gave a big speech yesterday where he basically suggested that Britain should set up a new customs union with the European Union, which is effectively a way of rejoining the single market through the back door. And that has sparked debate in Britain over that.
Can I ask you about Kemi Badenoch? I'm fascinated by her. I listen to her when at PMQs. I mean, she is acerbic to say the least. But how do you think she's doing overall?
Well, look, she's trying to find her feet. She's trying to not promise too much, and she's moving. I think some of the critics in the Tory party accuse her of not being, in a sense, outrageous enough on issues like immigration. I think she's been only okay at PMQs. She is, as you say, very acerbic, but she was put in position to be leader of the opposition and leader of the Tory party because it was felt by Tories that she would absolutely destroy Keir Starmer, who was perceived as being quite wooden, and that she would destroy him every Wednesday at PMQs. Now, to be leader of the opposition, all you have is your voice. That's the only lever you can really pull. And I think she's been okay at PMQs. She hasn't annihilated him to any degree. I thought, whatever about this week, I thought especially last week, I thought he was quite good at PMQs. He was good this week as well. I thought he's able to hold her off. But she may grow into the role, but that's basically what she's pulling the job to do, is to put a focus on Keir Starmer at PMQs every week. And you know, she's the kind of politician who could get into a fight in a phone box. I mean, she is reputed for that. She is very... spiky. So look, maybe that will come to bear. I mean, she is a strong politician, and maybe that will come to bear over time. We'll see how this works
well,
out.
Well, she has a big fight in her hands with Reform UK very much nipping at her heels now.
That's right, and if you look at some of the polls that have come out, I mean, they've topped the Tories in some polls, and the average over the last 7 polls that have been out, you know, they're a very, very close second to the Tory party, and will challenge Labour very, very heavily in the next election, it looks like.
Mark, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Mark Paul there, London editor with the Irish Times. Now, coming up next, is the trend for fancy water bottles really getting us to drink more water? Plus, the gathering as ructions are raised over top-up pay for junior ministers.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.